Let's talk a little bit about a guy who does malacha for Israel on Shabbos. We'll start with Tosfos, we'll go on to the Rambam, the Ravid, the Magen Avraham, and we'll see if we can put things together. The sugyas in Shabbos daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, Beis Shammai Omrim Einosnin Oros Li Abdon V'lo Kelim Lechoves Nochri Elo Kidei Sheyasu Bibod Yom Ubekulon Beisil Matirin Mashemesh. So the case is where the Oros are being given over to a guy, and he's going to be Ma'abid them, Melechus Ma'abid, on behalf of Israel, or Caleb that have been given for the purpose of washing clothing. And Beis Shammai is of the opinion, in Ritzchem we'll talk about that next week, that with other mitzvah al shvisas Caleb b'Shabbos, we don't pass them like Beis Shammai, we pass them like Beis Hill, u'b'kula b'tar. So if it's the case of Caleb, we can talk about that as a separate topic, but what about the case of Ibud Oros? Why is it that Beis Hillel would be Matir Ibud Oros on a guy on behalf of Yisrael on Shabbos? After all, we assume that you cannot hire a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. So here's the famous Rabbeinu Tam. Ein nosnin oros li abdo Beis Hillel matirin mikan hayanir li Rabbeinu Tam lahatir al yedei kablonus nachri livnos b'Shabbos. Rabbeinu Tam makes the distinction between what's called the Schir Yom, Schirus, and Kablonus. We'll see later on that the Re in Tosfos, towards the end, I bolded it. The Re in Tosfos says, Ha Dishari B'Shmaitin Oros Liabdan, Hainu B'Tolsh. We're talking about where the guy is doing the work after the hides were cut off the animal's back. That's called Tolush. And therefore he does the malacha, he does the ma'abid in his house, in the privacy of his house. Says Tosfos, D'lo mefarsima milsa shanachri osa malacha b'veisa. If it's in the privacy of his house and there's no pirsum, that's okay. Lo yadi shehu shal Yisrael. Nobody has to know that the Ibud Oros is being done on behalf of Yisrael. Aval, but what about a case of mechubar? Dahavi Birshus Yisrael, if the malach is being done in the domain of Yisrael, the mefarsim milsa, people will know that the guy is doing the work on behalf of a Jew, even though it's a case of kablonus, asur, because haroa omer, the roa thinks, schir yomdinu. So this is what we call marasayin. In other words, there's no way of the spectator understanding that this is a case of kablonus. The spectator is of the opinion, he's of the impression that it's a schir yom, and therefore it's also. But fundamentally, the Re seems to accept Rabbeinu Tam's breakthrough, that there's a fundamental difference between a schir yom and a kablon. And that's something that we want to understand. So what I suggest that we do in order to analyze this sugya is to study the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Vav Milcha Shabbos, we're not going to start with Halacha Aleph, we'll come right back to that in a minute. Let's just fast forward to Halacha Yud Beis. The Rambam.
This was a
Beis Shammai
or
Beis Hillel? This is according to Beis Hillel. Because according to Beis Shammai, it's also for other reasons, because Beis Shammai has the sheet of Shvisis Kalim, but we pass like Beis Hillel. Says the Rambam, Posek Adam im Hagoy al Hamalacha Vikotzeitz Damim Vahagoy Ose Liatzma Afal Pishu Ose B'Shabbos Mutter. So the Rambam paskins, and this reflects what we saw in Tosfos, that if you have an agreement with a guy, and the nature of that agreement is that the guy is going to work and be paid for his work, even though the guy is doing the work on Shabbos, and clearly on behalf of the Yisrael, it's mutter. And the Rambam explains why. The Rambam says because he was kotzeitz damim. He agreed to pay him a salary. In other words, the agreement was, I'll pay you a salary. You want to work on Shabbos, that's your decision. And therefore, the Rambam uses the language, I'd ask you to underline these words, Vagoy osaliatzma. Those, I think, are the key words here to understand the Shittas of Rambam. If the guy is making the decision, liatzmo, even though he's doing the malach, he's doing the work on Shabbos, it's mutter. And the Rambam extends this, and this is what I want you to pay attention to. V'chein ha-socher ha-sagoy li-yomim harbe mutar. The Rambam says that the two cases of schirus. There's one schirus where I pay you per day, and we have a list of days in which you work. One of them is Saturday. So you're going to work for me on Shabbos. I'm going to pay you for the work that you do for me on Shabbos. And there's another case of schirus where I pay you for a full year, or 2 years, the Rambam says. Ketzad. Kigon shesachar agoy l'shana o l'shnatayim. He pays the guy for a work of year or 2 years. She yichtov lo o shia arig lo. He's paying him to be his personal sofer. We'll see how the Magen Avraham embellishes this case, or he's his personal tailor. Obviously the Jew is, in this case, he's a rich guy. So he hires this guy on a long-term basis, in which the guy is always available. But even though the guy is always available, nevertheless, he doesn't ask the guy to work for him specifically on Shabbos. And therefore the Rambam paskins, ha-reze kosev vi-oreg b'Shabbos u-mutter. Even though he's a skir yom, nevertheless, since he doesn't designate the day of Shabbos, he gives him a whole year in which he has to do lamazugin 5 days a week of work. Is ki'ilu kotzatz imo shiyichta lo sefer o yarag lo beged shu ose bechol eishiyirtza. The guy can decide when he wants to plug in. Let's say I pay you a salary, and you have to work X number of days, right? You have to punch a clock. You don't have to punch a clock on any specific day. No, Shabbos is not listed and designated as a day specifically that the guy has to work on. The guy, therefore, can decide which day he wants to do his work. Says the Rambam, since Osa b'chol eishi yir, it's again the same phrase, for who, but this only applies, this heter, shelo yachshov imo yom yom. He doesn't calculate that he's going to pay him per day. He pays him for the entire year, X number of days. The guy at the end decides which days he wants to plug in and which days he wants to clock in to do the work. Even though the days that he does the work are Shabbos days, since it wasn't specified in the agreement that he would pay him for work that has to be done on Shabbos, it's who owes him liatzma. So let's try to suggest what the pshat is in the Rambam. Did you want to say something?
I'm sorry. It's a peculiar type of kavod. That means you get kavod.
It's not a kavod at all. Well,
I'm sorry. The Rambam says that he's combined kavod. He's combined kavod.
Only as far as the heter of Malachas Akum. But he's not a kavod. He's certainly not a kavod. And that's going to be the Ravitz HaSogah on the Rambam. But let's hold off for another few minutes and we'll come back to this question. Anyway, let's just to summarize what the Shitas HaRambam is at first glance. We learn from the Rambam that there's no fundamental difference between a Sakhir and a Kablon. What the Rambam emphasizes here is a different thing. The Rambam says that the heter here of a Kablon is that the moment of work that the guy has to put in the case of a kablon, is not specifically Shabbos. Meaning, in the case of a classical kablon, since the guy, by contractual agreement, is not committed, he's not obligated to work on Shabbos, therefore it's not considered melecha Shabbos l'tzorech ha-Yisrael, but rather a guy osa miatzma. Says the Rambam. Even if I can find you a case of schirus, in which the schirus agreement does not obligate the guy to work on Shabbos, in other words, within the context of the agreement, the legal agreement, the sachir, the guy has the right to decide which days he's going to put in, and it's not specifically obligatory for him to put in the day of Shabbos, the Rambam says the heter applies. Because a guy also liatzma.
He's a kablon on the yamim, I mean, he's not a kablon.
No. The Rambam's not saying chidushim here in Hilchas Kavlonos. The Rambam's saying a chidush in the halacha of Melechas Akum L'tzorech Yisrael. When does it become a Melechas Shabbos? When is this specifically a Shabbos Melacha? That's when he hired him to work on Shabbos. if he didn't hire him specifically to work on Shabbos, if he's not paying him for the day of Shabbos, he's paying for all the days that he puts in, and he can choose which days he wants to put in.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He does it on the yamim.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure what you're gaining by that. In any event,
but that wouldn't take care of Maris Ayin.
No. The Rambam is, that's the next halacha, Maris Ayin. We'll get to that in just a minute. But before we get to Maris Ayin, the Rambam is saying again: if you have a situation of schirus, if he's paid per day, and nevertheless it could be mutar on Shabbos, because although he's paid per day, since the schirus was liyamim rabim, it was by contract he can choose to fill in his quota of days on any day he chooses, then such a schirus agreement, since it doesn't obligate the sachir to work on Shabbos, is mutar. Let's take a look at the Magen Avraham, the way he embellishes this Rambam. This should be like two thirds down your page. The Magen Avraham says, "Nirali kavanas haRambam." Kiderech Asarim. The Rambam is talking about a very wealthy Jew. Sheyesh lem sofer miyuchad. You know, it wasn't like today where you have all the different methods of writing. You have to pay a sofer. Oh, chayet miyuchad. He's got his own tailor. Bechol ish shetzarech hasar lichtov. Whenever he has a need for ksiva or for ariga, is mechuyev lo lichtov. And if he doesn't have such a need, Yoshev Bata. Says the Magen Avraham in the Rambam, Lachain muta lichtov olarog b'shabbos shehu ose b'chol eish sheyirtze. He doesn't have to do the malach on that day. From the Yisrael's perspective, and he hired him in the agreement, he could push it off for another day. Shereh Yisrael eino omer lo lasos b'shabbos. The Yisrael doesn't specify, designate that it has to be done on Shabbos. V'im rotza Osel Machar, he can do it tomorrow. V'eina Yisrael Marviach Bamesha Osel B'Shabbos. That's the key phrase over here. Why is the agreement between the Balabayas, the Yisrael, and the guy who's a Sachir, why is it such that it doesn't necessitate that the work be done on Shabbos? Because from the Balabayas' perspective, there's no loss if the work is postponed till Sunday. And that was the nature of the agreement. So at the end of the day, since the Baal Bayis is not twisting the arm, contractually, of the Sachir to do the work on Shabbos, he doesn't have to produce the work on Shabbos, he can postpone it till Sunday, is therefore, says the Magen Avraham, according to the Rambam, this is not us. Let's try to understand this based on the Rambam at the beginning of the Perek. The Rambam, which is the third source on your page, in Halacha Aleph of Perek Vav, says the following: Asur lomar legoy lasos lanu malacha b'shabbos. This is what we call amir liyakum. We can't tell the guy to do a malacha for us on Shabbos. Afal pishein a mitzvah la Shabbos, even though the guy has no shaykhus to the mitzvah of observing the Shabbos. The afal pishein a mikodim a Shabbos, even though he set it up with the guy before Shabbos. Says the Ram, Afal Pishein Utsarach Lioso Malacha El Liakar Shabbos. He's not benefiting from the Malacha on Shabbos, right? Otherwise, it comes on the Malacha Shabbos, which we discussed, is also on Shabbos. Dovar Zeh Osir Midivrei Sofrim Kidei Shalotayeh Shabbos Kalabei Neim V'yavol Lasos B'atzmon. So the Rambam seems to assume that, and that's the Rambam Halacha Yud Beis, that if there's a schiris arrangement in which the guy is going to have to work for the Jew on Shabbos, even though he hires the guy before Shabbos, so technically there was no Amir Eliakim on Shabbos, nevertheless that comes under the Isra Amir Eliakim, meaning we can understand Halacha Yud Beis in light of the Rambam Halacha Aleph. Halacha Yud Beis in this perek is another example of Amir Eliakim, because the Rambam goes out of his way to tell us that the Isra Amir Liakum applies even if he hires him before Shabbos. But the Malacha is being done for the Israel on Shabbos. Says the Rambam, what did he say to him before Shabbos? If he said to him, I'm going to pay you for work that you do on my behalf on Shabbos, and that was part of the agreement that he has to do the work on Shabbos, that's a violation of Amir Liakum. Even though there was no Amir on Shabbos, but since the Malacha is being done on behalf of the Israel on Shabbos by virtue of the chiyuv, by virtue of the monetary obligation that's incumbent because of the contractual agreement here. When I say contractual, I don't mean shtar, I'm not saying that. But the agreement that they made when he hired him is that he'd work on Shabbos, that's a violation of Amir L'Shabbos. Comes on the Ram and he says, but wait a minute, what happens if the agreement doesn't obligate the guy to work on Shabbos? As far as the Israel is concerned, he can get the malacha even if it's done on Sunday without any loss. And the agreement was that he'd work so many and so many days over the course of the year, and the malacha will get done, but it doesn't have to get done on Shabbos. So who makes the decision to do the malacha on Shabbos? It's the guy himself. That's called Oseh Me'atzmo, and the Rambam holds that that's not a violation of Amir Lach.
Can you translate for me, Be'yuvoi U La'asois Be'atzmo?
What does the Rambam mean by that?
No, who does he mean by Asma? The Jew.
The Jew, right. Yeah. Right. Before. The Rambam has a whole theory in why Amir Lachim is also. I don't know if we'll get to that today. There's a lot of discussion about that. Yeah, that's the last part of the Rambam Aloka.
And we're still unclear if even without, if he doesn't say it, let's say Lehedi, he doesn't say you have to do it on Shabbos, but he puts the guy in a situation where there's absolutely no way.
Oh, no, that would also be a violation. As long as the agreement is Machayev the Malacha to be done on Shabbos, then the Malacha is done on behalf of the Israel on Shabbos by virtue of the agreement. That agreement is an Amir Lachim. It doesn't matter whether he spells it out, but if he makes an agreement with the guy, I'm going to pay you kach v'kach for work that's done on Shabbos, and it's got to be done on Shabbos. I'm not going to suffer, I'm not going to tolerate any delay till after Shabbos. I need that malach done on Shabbos. That's Amir Lachim. But in a case where the Israel says to the guy, get the job done, but it doesn't have to be done on Shabbos, the guy is the one who chooses to do the malach on Shabbos, that's not Amir Lachim. However, as Nissan pointed out, what about Marasayin? So let's take a look in the Rambam, in Halacha Yud Gimel, towards the bottom of your page, which is the very next Halacha, Bamedvar Amurim Bitzina, She'ein Makirin Akol Shezu Amalacha Hanaseis B'Shabbos Shel Yisrael Hi, Aval Im Haisa, and here the Rambam waxes very dramatic, Im Haisa Yedua Ugluya Umefursemes Asura Sha'roes Hagoy Oseik Eino Yodea She'Kotatz V'Omer. The Rambam says in this case, he doesn't know that there was a salary that was being offered, irrelevant, irrespective to which day of the week the guy does the malacha. And therefore, the Omer, the spectator, is going to come to the mistaken conclusion, Sheploni Sochar Hagoy Lasos Lo Malacha of the Shabbos. He thinks that the guy was hired to do the malacha specifically on Shabbos. Okay, now we want to study the Ravid. The Ravid, you'll see, comments in Asogas HaRavid in Halacha Yud Beis. So again, going back up to Halacha Yud Beis. Says the Ravid, on the words of the Rambam, Ketza Kigon Shesocha L'Shana O L'Shtayim, Omar Avram Dover Zeh Lo Sovir V'Lo Noir, Sha'af Al Pi, She'eno Midag Deik Imo, Kishuhu Batel, Mikomakom, and these are the four key words, Osa Malacha Mishtar Shalei V'Ein Zeh Domo L'Kamlonos. Now, let's try to analyze this Ravid and what bothers the Ravid. First of all, in the last four words of the Ravid's Hasoga, V'Ein Zeh Domo L'Kamlonos, it becomes clear that the Ravid is establishing or assuming a fundamental distinction between Schiris and Kablonos. And therefore the Ravid is not willing to accept Rishitaso that a Schir Lishana O Shnatayim would be any difference. Because at the end of the day, whether I'm paying you per day, over the course of a day, a week, or a year, or 2 years, makes no difference. It's always Schiris, and the Ravid somehow is operating with a fundamental distinction between Schiris and Kablonos, which the Rambam never accepted. But we'll come back to that a little bit later.
Could you translate Mishtar Shalei?
Oh, that's what I'm about to get to. Shkaya, thanks. Okay, good. See, the Hever here, they know my style. That's what I said at the outset. I just want to, you know, point out that the last four words in the Rav we're going to come back to. That's all I meant to do, okay? Now what we want to focus on the main four words that I asked you to underline. The Rav says the following. Osa melacha mishtar shalei. The Ravid asks a whole different question. Is the Yisrael getting hana? The word mishtarsha means revach. Is he getting benefits from this malacha? And what's the answer to that question, Rav Osai? For sure he is. In other words, we don't understand the Ravid's fundamental distinction between schiris and kablanos. Again, we're going to pick that up in a few minutes, Amir Tzashem. But nevertheless, whatever that distinction is, the Ravid is asking the Rambam the following question. Whatever the nature of the agreement was, whether the guy has to work on Shabbos and produce that malach on Shabbos, or whether he does not have to, at the end of the day, if the guy chose to do the malach on Shabbos, mishtar shilei, the Israel is benefiting from that malach that was done on Shabbos.
In which way?
The Israel is benefiting.
In which way?
No, because now he
has benefit.
Because now he can sell it on the market. Whatever he's selling on the market.
He doesn't decide he still sell it on the market.
Oh, with the Ksiva or the Ariga, whatever the guy is doing for the Israel, he did on Shabbos. And that work on Shabbos, the Israel benefits from.
So what's the difference between Kabbalah going to the Rabbi? What's the difference between any Kabbalah than any Israel?
Yeah, so that we're going to get to a little bit later. I hope you'll be able to stay.
I was just joking.
That's an American
joke. It's going to be the same problem.
What?
It's going to be the same problem everywhere. If they means he's got benefits over the
Great. That's why we don't understand the Ravid's head of Kablanus. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, what we want to analyze is how did the Ravid understand the Rambam Shita? And why did the Ravid attack the Rambam based on his, meaning the Ravid's understanding of the Rambam? The Ravid didn't understand the Rambam the way we did. The way we understood the Rambam is making a distinction between a case where contractually, by nature of the agreement, the guy has to work on Shabbos, or he doesn't have to work on Shabbos. If he had to work on Shabbos, and that was his chiyuv contractually, then the Rambam says that's Amir Eliakim, because you've told the guy to work for you on Shabbos. But in a case of a sachir for a shana shnatayim, he didn't tell him to work on Shabbos. And the guy has the option to choose not to work on Shabbos. If the guy works on Shabbos, that has nothing to do with Israel. That's a guy osal atzmo. But the Ravid didn't understand the Rambam like that. The Ravid understood the Rambam in a whole different way. According to the Ravid, what the Rambam is saying is, did the Israel benefit from the malacha that was done on Shabbos? Could the Israel have gotten the same benefit even if the malacha would have been done on Sunday, if it would have been pushed off? According to the Ravid, in his understanding of the Rambam, whether or not it's considered a malacha Shabbos li Yisrael depends on one question and one question only. And that is, does Israel get benefit from this malach insofar it was done on Shabbos? The Rambam is saying like following, that the Israel is not benefiting from the malach on Shabbos, in this case of a schir shana shnatayim. Why? Haraya, because the agreement was made that the work could be done whenever the work is done. In other words, you can have a schiris where I pay you for your daily malacha, but nevertheless, your daily malacha is not limited to a particular day of the week. So for example, let's say, I'm just creating a hypothetical scenario, we have a 5-day work week. Which 5 days the guy decides to work on, that's his decision. From the Israel's perspective, as long as the work gets done 5 days a week, that's fine. That's okay. Again, let's go back to the Magen Avraham's last few words of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, in explaining the Rambam, said, "V'eina Yisrael marviach b'mesha osa b'shabbos." Since in the framework of this agreement, the Israel could have had the malacha done for him on Sunday. It could have been postponed. Is therefore there's no iser of Amir Eliakim. Amir Eliakim means when the guy does a malacha on behalf of the Israel, and the Israel benefits from that malacha. Says the Rambam, according to the way the Ravid understood it, the Israel is not benefiting from the malacha if he made an agreement which allows the guy to choose whether the malacha should be done on Shabbos or not done on Shabbos. Is Mimela, the Rambam is absolutely correct according to the Ravid's understanding until he raises his Hasoga in terms of Amir Eliakim. The Ravid understands very well that the Rambam is based on Amir Liak. What makes this into an Amir Liak? Is the guy being commanded, is being required to do Malach on Shabbos? The answer is no, says the Rambam. From the Yisrael's perspective, it makes no difference to him, as the Magen Avraham says, Eino Marviyah Pamesh Osem Shabbos. The fact that the guy chose to do the Malach on Shabbos, that doesn't benefit the Yisrael at all. That's why the Yisrael never demanded of the guy to work on Shabbos. Is Memela, when does it become a merely Akum? When is it considered that the guy is working on behalf of the Yisrael on Shabbos? Again, this is before Marisayim. When the Yisrael is benefiting from the work that was done specifically on Shabbos. In this agreement, says the Rambam, even though it's Schirus, since the Yisrael gets no specific benefit from the fact that the guy did the work on Shabbos, the Yisrael would have been more than happy to postpone it till Sunday. It's not considered Amir Liakum. I didn't tell you to do the work on Shabbos. What benefit do I get from the work on Shabbos? Is Memela comes along the Ravid, and the Ravid says, wait a minute, if that's the Shitas HaRambam, if the Rambam is looking at the contract, he's looking at the agreement, and he's determining based on the hischaivus of the poel, of the sakir, as to whether or not the Yisrael benefits from the Malach on Shabbos, says the Ravid, it's undeniable. The Yisrael benefits from the Malach on Shabbos. The hanah and the revach that accrues to the Yisrael as a result of the malacha having been done on Shabbos is undeniable. And therefore, even in the case of a schir yom, which over the course of a year or two, the malacha could be done on Shabbos or Sunday, it could be postponed. And from the Yisrael's perspective, it makes no difference. But befall, in actuality, did the Yisrael benefit from the malacha? Yes. Was it done on Shabbos? Yes. Is that itself? Is enough for a milak?
When is it mutar?
When is it mutar? Kablonis, that's what we're going to get to later.
It's like even though it could have been done on Sunday, so he would be happy enough to have that on Sunday, but bottom line, it was done on Shabbos.
Correct, the rabbi is saying it was done on Shabbos. So the malacha was done on the behalf of the Yisrael on Shabbos. The Yisrael benefited from that malacha. You know, he wrote for him, he wove for him, whatever he did for him. Is that's enough to engender the Yisrael of Amir Liakim? The Rambam is looking at it from some sort of abstract conceptual perspective, meaning as far as the agreement is concerned, it's clear, it's written in the agreement that you can do the malach on Sunday or Shabbos. The Rambam is looking at it from a very practical, you know, Lamaisa kind of perspective, and it was done on Shabbos. So in order to understand, to analyze this machlokas, I thought that we should see Tosfos Bava Metzia, this on the top of your page 2. Tosfos Bava Metzia asks the following question. Can I give meat to a guy and ask him and say to him the following, you know what? It's up to you. You want to cook it? You want to be mavashal or basar Shabbos? Go ahead and do so. So Tosfos is in the Hava Mina, which might be Rabbeinu Tam, I don't know, but it's a day in Tosfos. He says, Mehai kamenami mutar loma lenochri. You're allowed to tell a guy on Shabbos, Helech basar ubashel letzarkacha, and go cook it for your purposes. You're going to benefit from it. I'm not going to benefit from it. And it's not a case where the Israel is obligated to supply the guy with cooked food. And says Tosfos, and here I want you to underline the next 5 words, the ein marviach biosa amira klum. In other words, Tosfos maintains in his first presentation, in his first shita, that since this malach that's being done by the guy is not beneficial to the Israel at all, it's not a violation of Amir Liakum. When does it become Amir Liakum, says Tosfos, when the guy is doing a malach and the Yisrael benefits from that malacha? But if there's no benefit from the malacha, then it's mutter. And therefore, the Ravid thinks that this is the Shitas HaTosfos. I'm sorry, the Ravid thinks that this is Shitas HaRambam. That there's no violation of Amir Liakum if the malach is being done in such a way that the Israel doesn't benefit from it. And therefore, in the case where the contractual agreement allowed the guy to choose which day of the week he'll do the malach on, the Israel is not asking for any side benefits by doing the malach on Shabbos is ain't a revir bosa amira klum. It's not a mir liakum. However, umiu amari, let's look at the last part of Tosfos. Delo dami. That no, it's not so. He says, there's a case where you're allowed to give nevela to Israel, to a guy, and tell the guy to eat the nevela. He says, there, that's not amir leakum, because the Israel, even if he tells the guy to eat the nevela, the Israel himself can feed the guy the nevela. It's lager shem shechted mena. Aval hacha, but here, oso dover sha'omar lenachri lasos, who ain't a yachal lasos. That malacha that the guy is going to perform is a malacha which the Israel is enjoined from performing, for example, bishul, and therefore he cannot tell the guy to be mevashal. That's a violation of amir le'nachri. Meaning, according to the maskon of Tosfos in the name of the Ri, even if the Israel benefits not, there's no benefit from the malacha that the guy is doing, nevertheless, you're not allowed to tell the guy to do the malacha. You can't do it. You can't tell him to do it. You don't need the condition of marviach biosa malacha. And the Rush over there in the seventh parak, he says, "Asur b'Shabbos lomar l'nachri she'em is onosav olav." Even though he has no responsibility to support the guy, heilech basu zeh u'bashelo solitzarkacha b'Shabbos. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Shin Zayin. Asur lomar l'yena Yehudi b'Shabbos heilech basar. So before we see the Ramah, let's just see how the Shulchan Aruch codifies this halacha, which is based on the Rosh and is based on the second day in Tosfos, that even if the Yisrael gets no benefit from the malach, the Yisrael's not allowed to tell the guy to do the malach on Shabbos, and that's a violation of Amir Liakum. Is Bemela, according to the Ramah Shita, what we could say is that the Rambam is not reflecting that Deya and the end of Tosfos, the Rosh, and the Shulchan Aruch, but rather he's reflecting the first day in Tosfos, and that's what the Rabbit accuses him of holding, that Amir Lakam depends upon Marviach Bios Amira. Is the Israel benefiting? The Rambam, therefore, is assumed to have come to the conclusion that if the nature of the Schiris was such that the Israel doesn't benefit from the Malacha being done on Shabbos, therefore, it's not a violation of Amir Liakim Shavuos, says the Ravid. But no, even according to that day in Tosfos, it doesn't depend upon the Isra Amir Liakim is not engendered by the fact that he's nene from the Malacha that was done on Shabbos because it was done on Shabbos, but rather simply if he's being Marviach, he's Mishtar Shele because of the Malacha that was done on Shabbos. Whether it could have been done on another day, says the Ravid, is totally irrelevant. Is Memela, according to the Rambam, it comes out that there's no distinction, as we said before, between a Kabbalah and a Sakhir. And we go back to the original way we understood the Rambam. The Rambam is asking a different question. No, it's the, you see, all I want to point out to you, Rabosai, is that if we accept the understanding of the Ravid in the Rambam, it becomes very, very sticky. Is this really Einam Arviyah from Malach Shabbos, or is it not Einam Arviyah? Does he get benefit from this Malach on Shabbos or not? That's why I suggest in the Rambam that we go back to our original way of understanding the Rambam. When the Rambam is matir in the case of Schir Shana, what the Rambam is saying is that the guy is not obligated. Amir Liakum, says the Rambam, is when I tell the guy to do the Malach on Shabbos, says the Rambam, I didn't tell the guy to do the Malach on Shabbos. The guy decided to do the Malach on Shabbos. And therefore we can circumvent, we can obviate this whole mess as to whether the Yisrael is Marviach when the Malach was done on Shabbos or not. So again, just to summarize what we're holding now, and then we want to get to the distinction between Schiris and Kabbalahs. There are two ways of understanding the Rambam. Is the Rambam Matir Schir Shana because the Sakhir doesn't have to do the Malach on Shabbos? And if he doesn't have to do the Malach on Shabbos, the Rambam says that he, the guy, decided to do the Malach on Shabbos. That's not a mere lakum. I never told you to do the Malach on Shabbos. That's one way of understanding the Rambam. Or is the Rambam saying something totally different? That the nature of the agreement was such that it was clearly indicated that the Yisrael couldn't care less whether the malacha was done on Shabbos. He gets the same identical benefit if the malacha was done on Sunday. And therefore it's not Avir Le'akum. Says the Ravid, but Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the malacha was done on Shabbos. The Yisrael benefited from that malacha that was done on Shabbos. And therefore it's Avir Le'akum. Fine.
Rabbi, can I just clarify that again?
Yes, please.
Sorry,
now we can be a little bit more.
I can just repeat that last sentence one more time.
There are two Malachim in the Rambam, and I want you to see the difference because they're fundamentally different one from the other. One definition of Amir Liakim in the case of a guy who does Malach on Shabbos is that the guy contractually was obligated to do the Malach. So the Yisrael was Machayev, so to speak, the guy to do the Malach. In other words, when the Yisrael asked the guy to sign on this agreement and he hired him, the Yisrael hired the guy to do the Malach on Shabbos. If the Yisrael hired the guy to do the Malach on Shabbos, and by virtue of the agreement, the guy has to do the Malach on Shabbos, that's Amir Eliakim. I'm telling you to do Malach for me on Shabbos, says the Rama. But supposing the agreement was such that it's the guy who decides whether he does the Malach on Shabbos, he can equally, you know, he has the freedom to do the Malach and postpone until Sunday, then the Malach was not done on Shabbos by virtue of any Amir Eliakim. I didn't tell him to do the Malach on Shabbos. If that be the case, the Ravid has no asog on the Rambam. The Rambam is glad. Why is the Ravid upset with the Rambam? He understood the Rambam is saying something totally different. He thought that the Rambam was like this first day in Tosafot Bava Metzia, that Amir Lachim depends upon when there's a Revach. And he thought that the Rambam was saying that since the Yisrael told the guy, do this malacha whenever you get a chance, you know, you have a 5-day work week, but you can do the malacha, you know, from Sunday to Thursday, you don't have to do the malacha on Shabbos. I'm not adminished, as we say, you know, it's not a pressing thing that you have to do the malacha on Shabbos. If such a case, if there's no revach, that's not called Amir Eliakim. Amir Eliakim means that this malacha relates to the Yisrael. Again, keep in mind that he never told the guy to do the malach on Shabbos. So what makes the malachas ha-goy related to the Yisrael is if the malach is done on behalf of the Yisrael on Shabbos, the fact that the Yisrael gets some revach. So the Rambam says, in this case, he gets no revach. Says the Ravid, what do you mean he gets no revach? True, I agree with you, it's the guy who decided to do the malach on Shabbos. He didn't have to make that decision. He could have postponed. The Yisrael would have no tain against him. But Lamaisa, when did he do the malacha? On Shabbos. The malacha was done for the Israel on Shabbos. That makes it into Amir Eliakim.
But really, the first way of understanding the Rambam has to understand also the second way. In other words, you have to, either way, there can't be Revach on Shabbos. So even the first way of understanding the Rambam is just the first stage of the second way of understanding the Rambam.
No, but I'm just saying, Adam, if you go with the first mahal, you don't have to ask the question and raise the objection to the Rambam, but at the end of the day, he benefited from Shabbos. What do you mean he benefited from Shabbos? If a guy decides to cook for you on Shabbos, did you violate anything? It has to be Amir Eliakim. Where's the Amir Eliakim here? The Amir Eliakim, without the Ravid, is the fact that I told you to work for me on Shabbos. If you decided to work for me on Shabbos, there's no Amir Eliakim. It's candid. The Ravid's Hasoga completely falls on deaf ears. What's the Ravid yelling? But he benefited from it. So what? The guy decided to do Malacha for the Israel on Shabbos. So therefore, Ich bin Schuldig, I'm guilty because the guy decided to do Malacha for me on Shabbos.
We're talking about a case where he hired the guy to work for him.
Correct, but he didn't hire him to work on Shabbos, says the Rambam. The Rambam is so glad. That's why the Ravid's Hasoga is really, again, I should use these, I know you guys get a little nervous when I say these things, but just listen to the Ravid. The Ravid is shooting off base. He's not looking at the target. The Ravid has a certain premise when he reads the Rambam, and therefore he pounces on the Rambam. The way we're understanding the Rambam, the Ravid is totally off base. There's nothing to object to. The guy decides to do the Malach on Shabbos, says the Rambam, that's not Amir Eliakim. A guy decides to do malacha for you. So what? Says the Ravid, no, I misunderstood the Rambam. That's not what he says. But my understanding of the Rambam was that the malacha relates to the Yisrael because the Yisrael benefits from it. Oh, says the Rambam, but look, the Yisrael couldn't care less. He gets the same benefit when it's on Shabbos. True. That's correct in the theoretical world. Had the guy postponed the malacha until Sunday, you're right. The Yisrael wouldn't have benefited anything. That's true. But Lamaisa, the guy did the malach on Shabbos. If the guy did the malach on Shabbos, you benefited from it. That itself makes it a Amir Eliakim. But now we have to understand the Ravid. The Ravid himself, what's his shita? He makes a fundamental distinction between schirus and kablonus, correct? In other words, the Ravid would have been silent and he would not have objected to the Rambam had the Rambam stuck to his guns and said that all schirus is prohibited on Shabbos. If the schirus indicates that he will be paid for his melech Shabbos, it's awesome. Had the Rambam said that, and he was matir kavlon, which is really Rabbeinu Tam that we began with. Let's go back again to the first source on page 1. The Gemara says, Beis Hillel matirim. So you're giving oros to a guy to be ma'abidem. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you know why? Because it's kavlonus. And kavlonus is mutter. Says the Ravid. Now we again look at the Hasogas Ravid in Perek Vav Halacha Yud Gimel. The Ein Zed Domel LeKablonus. That there's a fundamental difference between Schirus and Kablonus, and therefore the Rambam has no right to extend the heter of Mesinas Oros LeAbdon LeGoy to the case of a Schir Shana or Schir Shnatayim, because that's Schirus and it's not Kablonus. And the heter of the Gemara, according to Beis Hillel, is only Kablonus. What is the difference between schirus and kablonus? And why should it bear on Amir Eliyakim? The Ravid is not denying that the Easter that we're dealing with here is Amir Eliyakim. The Ravid never questioned that premise. Okay. So Rabosai, for this, I think we have to take a quick, how shall I say, a quick tour of Dini Mamonos. In other words, we have to leave Shabbos for a moment. Almanas Lachzor, but we have to take a look in Bav Metzia in the sugya of Schirus and Kablonus. So this you'll see is the fourth source on your page 2. The Gemara Bav Metzia Daf Ayin Zayin says the following: Omar Rav Poel Yochel Lachzor Bo Afilu Chatzi Ayom. There's something about the nature of Schirus of Poel that allows the poel to check out even in the middle of the day. Obviously, he's not going to be paid for the rest of the day, but he can decide, thank you, but no thank you, I'm out of here. And the Gemara then suggests that perhaps that halacha applies to schirus, but it doesn't apply to kablonus. Then in the case of a kablon, eino yochel lachzor, meaning, there's something about the hischayus and the shibud, the commitment of the kablon to the balabayas, that makes it impossible for him to back out in the middle. You know, it's like I borrowed from you $1,000, right? And I obligated myself to you with a shibud to be poreacho. So I can't be choser. You know, I took your money. I got to return it. There's something about the nature of kablonus that it's almost like he took his money. You know, and you can't just back out. It's a commitment that's irreversible. And the Gemara goes back and forth on this point. There's a second difference between schirus and kablonus, which is in the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Yud Gimel Hilchos Mechira Halacha Tesvav. The Rambam says that onah, which is overcharging or underpaying, does not apply to the case of schirus. And the Rambam says the reason for that is because avodim ein behem onah. The halacha is that just like there's no onah in karkos and avodim hukshu karkos, there's no onah in avodim. The Rambam, in Halacha Yud Ches, in the same perek, says, V'nira li, which means the Rambam is being mechadish something, Sha'kablon yesh lo ono. Ketzad kigon shekibul olav larog beged zeh, bi'asora zehuvim, olitfar chaluk zeh, b'shnei zuzim, harei zeh yesh lo ono. That means that if the payment scale for, let's say, Tfira was off base, in other words, when he paid him Farigas HaBeged, he charged him Asar Zuzim, or for the Tfiras HaBeged, he charged him Shnei Zuzim, and so forth and so on, and that's not the accurate price, you know, or salary to be paid for such Kablonus. So in that case, there's Ono. And this is the Rambam's Kiddush. Keep in mind, the Gemara itself was distinguishing or raising the possibility of distinguishing between Schiris and Kablonus in terms of whether Yochel Lachzor Bo B'Chatzi Hayom or Ein Yochel Lachzor. The Rambam extended that distinction to Ono. If you take a look in the Magid Mishnah in Halacha Yudches says Tzorchli Iyun. I don't understand the Rambam. The Kaimelon Ein Uman Kona B'Shvach Keli. So the Magid Mishnah wants to prove that there is Ona in Kablonus, and he invokes the principle of Ein Uman Kona B'Shvach Keli. We'll just say very quickly what that means. The Baal Bais gives, he supplies the Kablon with a piece of clay, right, raw materials. The Kablon now is an artisan and he works and he produces, but everything belongs, including the Shvach, because now the clay is worth, the increment is considerable. So let's say, for example, the raw materials are worth 10 and the final product is worth 50. So everything is owned by the Baal Bais. The Uman, even though he worked very hard and he produced something and increased it from 10 to 50, nevertheless he doesn't own that. And therefore, says the Magid Mishnah, there's no difference between Kavlonus and Schirus. He further quotes the Halach of Bal Tolin, meaning in terms of Halona Schar, that you have to pay on time. There's no difference between Schirus and Kavlonus. And the Magid Mishnah, if we go back to Halach of Tezvav, quotes the Rashba and the Ramban, that they argue with the Rambam as far as Onah is concerned. And they hold that the din of Onah applies not only to Schirus, but also to Kablonus. So basically, Rabosa, we have the following. We have Machlokas here in the Rishonim, whether or not there's anything fundamentally different between Schirus and Poel. Excuse me, Schirus and Kablonus. And there are three nafkaminas. One nafkamina is legabi onah. The other nafkamina is gabi uman kona b'shvach keli. And the third nafkamina is legabi bal tolin. And the fourth nafkamina is yochel lachzor bo v'chatzi hayom. So I'd like to suggest the following. According to the Rambam, who says nira li shakablan ein lo onah, nira li shakablan yesh lo onah, excuse me, what the Rambam is basically saying is that there's a fundamental difference between Schiras Poel and Kablonus. In Schiras Poel, the Gemara equates Poel to an Eved, and the Rambam likewise accepts that equation, and therefore he says there's no Onah. In Schiras Poel, no matter what I pay him, what I agree to pay, whatever salary I agree, and he accepts it, there's no Onah. Nobody could try, hey, you're underpaying me or you're overpaying me. And likewise, because of this equation between Schiras Poel and an Eved, he can be Chozer Bo B'Chatzi Hayom. The Gemara says that because the Torah says that you cannot make a Yisrael into an Eved, I mean, there are ways in which Yisrael is sold as an Eved, but you can't make Yisrael into a total Eved in such a way that he can't get out of this avdus. In other words, what Schiras Poel means is that basically the Poel is an Eved working on behalf of the Baal Bais. And therefore he has rights to be Chozer Bo Be'emtza Hayom, but he forfeits his rights to Onah, because ain't no b'karkos, ain't no b'avodin. Kablonis, on the other hand, according to the Rambam, is something totally different. The Kablonis is not that I'm paying you for the malacha per se. In the case of Schir Yom, I'm paying you for the malacha. Your malacha is mine. I own your malacha. I have a schus in your malacha. You're working on my behalf. You're like my Eved. That's called Schirus. But in the case of Kablonis, you're going to produce whatever you have to produce, and that's your headache. How you go about doing the malacha, that's not related to the Baal Bais. You're not working every moment on my behalf. You were mischayev through kablonus to produce a certain object that has to be worked on, and it requires a great deal of effort. So why is it that in the case of Kablonus, any yochel lachzor bo? Is because in the case of Kablonus, it's not like an Eved, where I own your pe'ilus, pe'ulos, I own your work. You're the extension of my arm to do my work. No. In the case of Kablanus, your work is not related to me. You are mischayef to produce something. I give you the money, and now you give me the object in return. It's like a chov. And in the case of a chov, ain't a yachal lotzer. And the Rambam therefore assumes that there is onah in kablanus. Because since kablanus is not that I own your work, when I own your work, your yad and your malach is mine, the halach is, that's like an eved and yachal lotzer bo. But you can't be chozer bo for an agreement that was signed and sealed in which your work is not related to me, you're not my eved, you have to just produce the object. And therefore, the Rambam says that even though ein umat, and again, the Magid Mishnah is saying, what do you mean, kablanus is not on the pe'ilus, on the avoda, on the malach itself? So why is it that ein uman kona b'shvach keli? Meaning the Baal Bayis should have no relationship to the malach, and that malach belongs to the kablan, and therefore he should be kona with that malach. The answer is because the Rambam holds that the shvach is inherent in the kli itself. And since the kli, meaning the raw materials that were given over to the kablan, clearly are owned by the Baal Bayis therefore is kona the shvach. It's like a kinyan peros. Meaning, if I own the tree, then the fruits on the tree are mine. Aroi ashbach. My land produced and increased in its value. So therefore, the Rambam is not impressed by the fact that I have to pay the kablan in order to offset all the work that he did, but the Rambam was unwilling to go that one step further and say, therefore, that the Yisrael who hires the Kablan owns his work. Is Mevela Rabosi? Let's go back to Shabbos. This is, I think, perhaps a clue to understand the Ravid's distinction between Schiris and Kablanus. When is it considered Amir La'akum? The Ravid asks himself the following question. I didn't tell the Akum to work for me on Shabbos. Let's take, for example, the case of Shnatayim. I didn't tell him to work for me on Shabbos. So why is it considered Amir Liakum? The answer is, says the Ravid, because he's a Sachir. And in Schirus, like Avdus, the Baal Abayis who hired him owns his, until he's Chosef, at least, he owns his Pa'ula. The pa'ula is now being done on behalf of the Baal Bayis, almost like an extension of the Baal Bayis. You know, it reminds me of the famous Machna Ephraim, who says that if you hire a guy to put up a makah for you, you can be yotzei in the mitzvah of makah. Why? Because it's like yada richta. It's like he's doing your malach on your behalf. Even though there's no shlichus to menachum, but it's like he's putting up the fence on your behalf as if your extended arm put up the... I'm just using this L'Savar Sozen. But I mean to say, the Ravid holds that in Amir Liakum, even though the guy was not specifically hired to do the work on Shabbos, nevertheless, since within the context of the Skirus, the Yisrael who hired him, the Maskir, owns the Pa'ula, he owns the Malacha, therefore that Malacha automatically relates to the Yisrael, and it's Malachas Yisrael. If it's Malachas Yisrael, that's called Amir Liakim. Amir Liakim applies, says the Ravid, whenever the Malacha per se is related to the Yisrael. And since the Malacha is being done on Shabbos, and it relates to the Yisrael, therefore it's a violation of Amir Liakim. Masha'enken, says the Ravid, in the case of Kablanus, where the Yisrael doesn't own the malach at all. Haraya, it's in Kablanus, it's a chov to produce an object. That's the nature of the chov. And that's why the kablan cannot be chozer bo b'chatzi ayom. And also we know now that there's a din, according to the Rambam, of onah b'kablanus. Why does the Rambam hold that there's a din of onah b'kablanus? Because basically, the malacha is only a hechatimtza to produce the object. There's a chov on behalf of the kablan to produce the kablanut, and therefore there's onah. Says the Ravid, in such a case, there's no amir liakum. Because the guy is not working on behalf of the Yisrael. He could have done the malacha on a different day. He chose to do it on that day. That's his decision. Hagoy osa miatzma. But for the Rambam, says the Ravid, to extend that to the case of Schirus, that he has no right to do, because in Schirus, no matter when the guy decides to do the malach, meaning the guy could have equally decided to do the malach on a different day, but he chose to do it on Shabbos, that malacha It's like an Eved who's working on behalf of the Israel. The Malacha is related to the Israel, and therefore it's a violation of Amira. The last thing I wanted to talk about, but we'll leave this for next time, is the Rambam and the Ravid at the bottom of your page 2 in Halacha Tezayin about Hash'olas Kelim and Schiris Kelim to a Goy. The Goy is doing the Malacha with rented Kelim, and those Kelim belong to the Israel. Is that similar to the case of Behema or Eved, where Adam Mitzuvah al Shvisas Behemta al Shvisas Avdo? The Rambam says no, and the Ravid wants to make that equation. So B'li Neder, we'll pick that up next time.